Now, an application has been made to the Defective Concrete Block Grant Scheme for homeowners impacted by defective pyrite blocks in County Clare. Clare had been fighting to be included in the pyrite redress scheme, with the Clare Pyrite Group, Dr. Martina Cleary, who established the group, and Clare County Council all leading the formulating of the application. The Defective Concrete Blocks Grant Scheme is currently only open to counties Mayo and Donegal and covers a maximum of 90% of remediation costs. And I'm delighted to say, for more on this, we are now joined by Dr. Martina Cleary, who, as I say, established the Clare Pyrite Action Group, and she's in Croisín. Martina, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Alan.
So this is good news. It's taken some time, but some collaborative work has ensured that this application has gone in. That's the first step towards acceptance, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's good news, Alan, that the report is now being submitted by Clare County Council. And Clare Pyrite Action Group knows exactly the amount of work that's been involved in this, because we've campaigned tirelessly for a year now to get things to this point. So it's taken every single newspaper article, radio piece, lobbying of all 27 county councillors, each and every speech by our representatives in the Dáil and Shannon, and also, of course, the incredible bravery of the homeowners who have made their personal tragedy public to get it to this point. So we'd say the group's been instrumental in ensuring also that the evidence needed, including pushing hard for the core testing of five homes, and also recently gathering necessary data on 53 more who've approached the group, has been provided for that overall report.
Martina, you've explained well the effort that's gone in over the past 12 months or so to highlight this cause that deserves to be highlighted, because I could only imagine what it would be like if I found defective blocks in my home from pyrite. It'd be occupying my mind morning, noon and night. At times it must have been very stressful, and you know, you must have been exhausted yourself and the rest of the group in terms of, you know, finding the reserves of energy to continue on this fight and this campaign.
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's been a huge effort, by absolutely every single individual involved so far in this, that we'd say. But I would say as well that we can't clap ourselves on the back now far too much, like for filing a report. You know, there's a few things to remember here, that Clare cannot become the ignored county the way Donegal has become the forgotten county. So I would say now, the Dáil passed a motion on the 15th of June for 100% redress. And Dara O'Brien has committed to improve the existing system. But unfortunately, all sides at the deadline, there was a working group formed there with Mayo and Donegal, and of course Clare was excluded from that. And unfortunately, all the signs are now that the deadline of July the 31st is not going to be met on that. So after 10 years of dragging the people in those counties through years of trauma, those with the power to fix it now are just perpetuating the ongoing damage. So I say, if we're going to be spared that in this county, it's essential that all of our elected representatives now get onto the field. So if we look at Dara Cleary and Mark McSherry, Bovin Mayo and Sligo, they absolutely showed their mettle, you know, in the recent Dáil motion on redress. And they really stepped up to the plate, and they said they were willing to actually step away from their own parties if the government didn't step up and do their duty in this to people. So I'd say in Clare County, we have three at the starting line so far, and fair play, and thank you very much to Timmy Dooley, Violet Ann Wynne, Cathal Crowe, and of course the fourth, Donna McGinnigan. So the report may be in, but the fight for justice in this county for Clare is just beginning.
Okay, and also with us on this is Michelle Mansfield. Michelle is a resident from Six Mile Bridge who's affected by pyrite. Michelle, good morning to you.
Good morning, Alan. Good morning, Martina.
This is, I'm sure you would echo Martina's call for as much help as possible from the elected representatives, and also you would share her, I suppose, satisfaction, for want of a better word, that this application has at least gone in. As Martina says, it's there's a long way to go yet, but getting the application in, it keeps the ball rolling.
Yeah, I think we're still at the very beginning, Alan. And, you know, you mentioned stress, and I suppose as a homeowner, it is very difficult to discover yourself in this situation. And I can only, praise Martina and the Clare Pyrite Group for all the support they've given myself and my husband at this time and other homeowners. I mean, we are calling out to our TDs, members of the Shannon and local councillors, to continue raising the profile of Clare homeowners and to help us, to support us. You know, all the support that we've been given as a family to date have come from the Clare group and Martina and fellow members. And at the moment, we would also ask that there's some support for homeowners in this area. It's a very difficult and stressful situation to find you in. find yourself in. And I suppose it's not just the financial impact of thinking you lose or may lose your home, and you know, ours at the moment is crumbling around us as I speak to you, but it is also the emotional and stressful impact day to day. You have to try and find a way of living through this, which at times can be very, very stressful.
Yeah, I did mention that earlier, Michelle, that, you know, I can only imagine what it would be like. And but if it were my home, it'd be occupying my mind morning, noon and night, which obviously isn't good from a stress and mental health point of view. Can you tell us when you found out that your home was affected by pyrite and, you know, how much it occupies you and your family's thoughts?
I suppose, just to mention, the cracks, I suppose, started to appear maybe about just over two years ago. And it was only earlier this year that we had an engineer come out to confirm that, given the pattern of the cracks, you know, the damage that was there, that it was likely to be pyrite. I suppose there are categories of damage from 1 to 4, 1 being the least effective, 4 the most damage, and you're looking at demolition. And ours is category 3 at the moment. So with the proviso, or, you know, we've been told it's likely to worsen. We don't have a time scale on that, Alan, you know. There was a time where I couldn't walk outside without nearly counting the cracks that were outside my house. And now we have cracks already inside also that mirror the outside cracks. You know, we're living not knowing, you know, how soon it's going to get worse. You know, it's very difficult day to day. And I suppose in the midst of that, you're trying to live a normal life. I mean, I work as a frontline worker and have done for many, many years. And I worked all through COVID and managed the stress of that. And then to find out in the last number of months that not only, you know, you have the stress of coping with a pandemic like everybody else has, but now the thought of losing our home. And I suppose to many people, this is the biggest debt you ever take on in your life. And we all want to think at the end of the day, after a hard day, you come in, you close your door and you're safe and comfortable within your home and your own four walls. And I don't have that anymore. Like, I don't know how long we're going to be able to remain living in this house, how soon it's going to get worse, you know, when it gets just to category 4 and there's no option but to demolish the house. Like, where do we go and what do we do? You know, and, you know, my husband is a few years older than me. I'm sure he won't mind me saying that. And he's heading towards retirement. Are we going to be able to manage this within our retirement years? It's very difficult. And, you know, so grateful, as I said, for the support of the group, for the support of family. And, you know, and I suppose we'd like to have some answers. It's fantastic that an application has been made, but what next? You know, the people of Clare and homeowners in Clare, we can't be ignored. We need people to speak on our behalf and offer us support, not only for the scheme, but also support on managing this and handling the stress that that brings into our daily lives.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound pessimistic or defeatist about your situation, Michelle, but when, as you say, you're at category 3 and you're that close to category 4, which, as you say, means a house has to be demolished and totally rebuilt, you must be fearing the worst and, you know, trying to come up with a contingency plan, if at all possible.
Well, feeling the worst and coming up with a contingency plan, Alan, it's like, you know, we've spoken about, you know, do we look at trying to accommodate ourselves somewhere close to our house, you know, talking about a mobile home, like, are we going to be living in the garden shed? I mean, sometimes you kind of wonder because, you know, you're trying to, as I said, the biggest debt you have is your family home, and you're trying to make sure you're paying the bills and taking care of mortgages. Like, none of us think about having to pay to live in two different places, you know, and I suppose it is a struggle. You know, there is that financial, there is that what if, there is, you know, having, you know, purchased your dream home thinking now it's absolutely worthless, it's not worth anything. You know, it's hard to break away from it, and yet it's hard not to be overwhelmed and consumed by it. At times it's like you're going through the 7 stages of grief. You know, there's that bit of disbelief and shock, and then you're in denial, and then you have that awful pain and anger and depression. And I suppose, you know, I'm certainly not at the acceptance level, but I myself and my husband sit down and we talk and we try and be pragmatic and we try and live our lives, but also try not to, I suppose, let it impact us to the point that it impacts our relationship, because there could be more to be lost here than just our home. You know, the stress this puts on people, and you usually take stress out on those closest to you.
Yeah, you have to be very, very careful of that, particularly because you have enough on your plate as it is at the moment, Michelle. And Martina, hearing Michelle there, I mean, it's heartbreaking, but even just in Clare alone, there's, you know, at least another 50-odd stories like that, you know, in our news this morning. We're hearing that around 50 homes and two housing estates are estimated to be affected by the minerals. So there are a lot of people in Clare who are as stressed and concerned and worried about the future and their home as Michelle is.
Yeah, well, Alan, it's actually, in the last 2 days, 10 more have actually phoned the group. So we're at 64 homes that are known to us, plus okay. two housing estates, plus a major building. Now, the points Michelle are making are very, very important, because today, Clare Pyrite Action Group has been the only resource available for people to get any form of advice or information. And with the numbers going weekly, you know, we're ordinary people and impacted homeowners with jobs, families, commitments to attend to. We're not a public body with resources to do this on a larger scale. And the numbers are going to increase, especially as we get closer to any indication of a grant here. And it's important, I suppose, to be saying that there should be some kind of service put in place now where people have a phone-in line or a walk-in service to get advice on this at a public authority level as well. And that needs to be funded as well at a government level, you know. Mm. And it's important to remember also that goes beyond just providing facts and logistics and criteria for getting or not getting the grant scheme. People's homes are their individual security. And like the effects on physical mental health and well-being are immense here. So I would say to you, people may not be aware of this, but in Mayo and Donegal, there have been suicides. Marriages have broken down. People are getting sick. People will die prematurely because of the stress brought on by this. And we're talking about toxic stress here. You know, and as Michelle said, people have paid and are paying huge mortgages. They're working their whole lifetime, and now they're coming to a position where they can't even be secure in their own homes. They're faced with more worry. You know, it's nothing short of criminal, actually, what the government are standing over and allowing to continue to happen. You know, the home is the basis for domestic and working life. And, you know, the Exchequer are calculating bricks and mortar here, but there's a much bigger bill coming down the line for the facing into the actual mental and physical, you know, impact of living with the daily despair of this. And the longer it's being dragged out, hell on top of more hell for people, you know, they might think they're cutting corners, but actually cutting corners, you know, in the non-regulation of buildings, the building industry and building materials, is exactly what led to this situation, and it should have never happened. Now, when we get a redress scheme in County Clare, from that's in place and in other counties, and people have been, in, you know, through no fault of their own, put in this horrific situation, then it's time to actually look at, you know, a public inquiry, an absolute full public inquiry into why this happened, and people need to be held accountable, held to account for this.
Martina, is Clare any closer to being included in the local property tax exemption?
Well, you know, you're following me to yourself there now, Alan. And, you know, Carl Coe got up and spoke about that in the Dáil. So has Violet Ann Wynne. You know, it's there on the agenda. And the response has come back to both of the RTDs there has been that it is actually at the discretion of the minister to grant that immediately. So why can't he grant it immediately?
So basically, Martina, all it takes is a stroke of a pen.
That's it.
Okay, you would think he would take this on board. And look, you have intimated that, you know, that you would take this further, that possibly this could go to Europe if needs be. Mm. But you obviously don't want it to go that far, and neither do the likes of Michelle, because it just adds more stress. You would like this to be dealt with at a national level and for the minister to address all of this.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the report's on the table since Monday morning now. You know, and you know, we're going to give them their time to consider that. But each day, each week, each month that goes past, each of these houses go from one category into the next. And I'll just say as well, if you're category 1, 2, 3, and 4, there's a system there in place for different levels of compensation. So it's not just about category 4 houses being considered here. Within the scheme that was put in place in Mayo and Donegal, it's all categories have to be considered, you know. So we're all facing into the winter now. I'm dreading the storms coming in. Like, I'm looking at my house. I go out every single day to check it to see, okay, how wide are the cracks now? What am I looking at now facing into the next winter with the wind actually coming in through windows, you know? You know, every single one of us are terrified of that. Like, we're the ones living with it, like, through the next winter as well.
Yeah, and Michelle, we know homeowners in Mayo and Donegal, they spent a number of years fighting for the redress scheme in their county, and then by the time it was approved, the homes had further deteriorated. Are you know, obviously you're glad the application has gone in for Clare to be included in the defective concrete block scheme, block grant scheme, but are you worried that it will take a considerable amount of time and that in that time your home could move from category 3 to 4 and then you're extremely worried already, but things could get worse?
Absolutely, Alan. I mean, the engineer advised us to do some remedial works and we couldn't because of lockdown, and then I suppose the stress on labourers, we couldn't get somebody to come and help us. So I was footing a ladder while my husband had an axle grinder and was trying to dig out the cracks so he could refill them to try and cover them and prevent further damage. As Martina said, we all are dreading the winter coming, but my husband is in his 60s, up the top of the ladder with an axle grinder, trying to make repairs to a house through no fault of her own.
And Michelle, sorry to cut across you, but you shouldn't have to be doing that. I mean, both of you are probably no more than amateur DIYers.
Absolutely, Alan, but this is the reality of it. If we ignore them and try not to, we're going to be, driving fairly fast to Category 4. We're trying to do everything we can to retain the house as much as possible, but we know we're fighting a losing battle. You know, the tide is coming in on this. And as Martina said, the winter, the moisture, the water getting into those blocks, you know, we know even repairing these cracks, they are going to come back. We've been told that, but we're trying to prolong, the status of our house, which we love to live in for as long as possible. But I would love for Minister O'Brien to come down and meet with us and see the reality of what we have to live with day to day and the stress, and then to tell us that Clare can't be included. I mean, we should not be discriminated against because we're not living in counties that have already been accepted as part of a redress scheme, just because of where we live. And I do hope he comes and he meets with us to see the reality of this. You know, most of us are taxpayers. We've worked really hard. We love our homes. We want to remain here. You know, we just want the home that we bought to be solid and safe for us and our families.
And that definitely isn't too much to ask, Michelle. And I think hopefully the minister will meet you all soon. And if he did and heard your story and similar stories from the other people in Clare affected by pirate, you'd want to have a heart of stone not to do something about this. Look, Michelle, my heart and thoughts go out to you. Hopefully keep the faith, keep the fingers crossed. The application is in now and hopefully things will move at a fairly swift pace and Clare will get onto that redress scheme. Michelle Mansfield in Six Mile Bridge, resident affected by pirate. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. And Dr. Martina Cleary from the Clare Pirate Action Group and Crushing as well. Thank you to both of you.